Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez virtue signals about taxing the rich as she hangs out with the rich. The Taliban claim America needs to have a big heart and give them more money. Plus, Gavin Newsom survives the recall election in California. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
Okay, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday. I hope you're having a great week. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to start with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, because as much as she loves to talk about her working class district and all the poor people she says she represents, AOC has certainly made herself at home in her luxury Washington, D.C. apartment, her $174,000 salary, and her hobnobbing with the liberal elite. Case in point was this week's Met Gala in New York City. It's a who's who of the rich and powerful, with tickets going for $30,000 each. AOC, in classic socialist form, wore a dress to denounce the rich while hanging out all night with the rich. She didn't protest such a decadent event. She didn't blast the capitalist excess on Twitter. Nope, she joined right in, showing off a custom tax the rich dress, which she partied in all night without a mask. Here's the story. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez made a stark political statement at the ritzy Met Gala in New York City on Monday, and it's bringing in a flood of online outrage. The New York Democrat donned a white gown with the words "Tax the Rich" splattered in big red letters across the back, along with a red handbag bearing the same slogan in white letters. Ms. Ocasio-Cortez's fashion statement came on the same day that House Democrats were proposing one of the largest tax increases in U.S. history to pay for President Biden's $3.5 trillion social spending bill now being debated on Capitol Hill. I find it interesting that for someone like AOC, who makes her living bashing the rich, she has no problem hanging out with them all night. But hey, at least she's virtue signaling in the process, so that way she can say, hey, she's representing her base too. Yep, really sticking it to the rich with that fashion statement. Of course, there was a ton of backlash at the level of hypocrisy and tone deafness exhibited by AOC. Here's Senator Ted Cruz. Cost per ticket, $30,000. Virtue signaling to your base while partying, without a mask, with the people you claim to hate. Priceless. Yep, she makes a good living off of blasting the rich, but she just has so much fun hanging out with them. Here's Donald Trump Jr. What makes AOC a bigger fraud? The tax the rich dress while she's hanging out with a bunch of wealthy left-wing elites? Or the lack of masks after spending the past 18 months as one of the biggest authoritarian mask Karens in the country? Authoritarian mask Karens. I just love that. And it just shows how the liberal elite feel there is one set of rules for them and one set of rules for the rest of us. They are mandating masks for everything. Vaccinated, unvaccinated, indoors, outdoors, but not for them, not while mixing and mingling with important people. I haven't seen one picture of AOC from the Met Gala with her wearing a mask. I guess COVID doesn't show up for left-wing gatherings like they do for Trump rallies. As it turns out, her appearance at the gala in that dress could be an ethics violation. A complaint was filed by the American Accountability Foundation over whether AOC accepted an impermissible gift to attend the gala and whether she violated any campaign finance laws. Here's more. The complaint states that since Ocasio-Cortez described her attendance at the Met Gala as part of her official duties, the receipt of the gift must fall under either the widely attended event or charity event exemptions as defined by the House rules. The AAF argues that the Congresswoman's invite fails on both exemptions because the gala was not widely attended and because the invitations are overseen by Condé Nast, a for-profit company. For her part, AOC fired back at her critics of her tax the rich dress and her exclusive outing with the rich and powerful by saying she was just doing her civic duty as a humble public servant. And before haters get wild, flying off the handle, New York elected officials are routinely invited to and attend the Met due to our responsibilities in overseeing and supporting the city's cultural institutions for the public. I was one of several in attendance in this evening. Yep, she was attending as a public service, and while doing the service for us, the lowly people, she's just going to bash the rich a little bit in front of the cameras so she can keep her street cred. It's pathetic. One last note on this story, and it comes from Chinese spy lover, Democrat Eric Swalwell. Remember him? He's the Democrat who was personally and professionally involved with a Chinese spy. Well, Swalwell tried to do a takedown of Republican Representative Jim Banks. Banks posted several tweets regarding AOC's tax the rich dress, so Swalwell responded with this. Three tweets about AOC's dress? Do you need a restraining order? Pretty lame if you ask me. However, as far as comebacks are concerned, Banks's reply was not too bad. Sorry, Eric. Only one of us has a thing for communist women. Boom. Nice work, Representative Banks. So what do you think? Was she there to bash the rich, maybe represent her constituents, or maybe to enjoy a maskless evening with the liberal elite? Let me know what you think in the comments. All right, so next we're going to talk about the Taliban and the message being sent to America. But first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Okay, so next we're going to talk about the Taliban, because now that they are the ruling class in Afghanistan, they are now in need of aid, and they want America to pay its fair share. Yep, as the United Nations sends hundreds of millions of dollars to the new Taliban government, the Taliban is actually criticizing America for not stepping up to the plate. Here's the story. The Taliban terrorists, now governing the new Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, thanked the United Nations and its donors Tuesday after they promised hundreds of millions of dollars in aid before scolding America and telling it to join the donation frenzy and show some heart. AFP reports the group turned on the U.S. after saying it will try its best to deliver this aid to the needy people in a completely transparent manner. Amir Khan Muttaqi, the regime's acting foreign minister, went on adding, "America is a big country. They need to have a big heart." Can you believe this? The Taliban have already been shaking down America for concessions by refusing to allow Americans to leave the country. Secretary of State Antony Blinken admitted as much last week. Now, the Taliban wants America to just keep on giving. Here's more. The plea for Americans to open their wallets came just 24 hours after the United Nations opened a high-level donors conference with the call for the world to urgently send $600 million to help fund the Taliban over the next 3 months. As Breitbart News reported, disbursement of funds to those Afghans in need has been guaranteed in writing by the Taliban, the UN assured potential contributors. Secretary General Antonio Guterres is leading the globalist body's call for the funds in what amounts to a public relations victory for the terrorist group, after U.S. and NATO forces fled the 20-year war in a chaotic departure. Did you catch that? The UN is playing global cheerleader and fundraiser for the Taliban to the tune of $600 million because the Taliban promised that the funds would go to Afghans in need. You just can't make this stuff up. So how long before Joe Biden sends them a check, you know, to go along with all the armored vehicles, aircrafts, guns, ammunition that he already left for them? It's just ridiculous. All right, so next let's talk about the California recall election and the efforts to replace California Governor Gavin Newsom. The results are in, and in typical California fashion, the state is going to continue being headed in the wrong direction. By a nearly 2-to-1 margin, liberal California voters decide to keep Newsom and continue business as usual. Recall that for the first time ever, California will be losing an electoral vote following the 2020 census. People are leaving the state, and yet the state keeps voting for leaders and policies that are driving people out. Conservative talk show host Larry Elder entered the recall race just 2 months ago, and he quickly rose to the top of the field of contenders to replace Newsom. Here's Elder from last night as the results came in.
The reason we started this campaign is because this man, Governor Gavin Newsom, was sitting up there at the French Laundry restaurant with lobbyists who contributed to his campaign, with the people who drafted the mandates that they were violating by not wearing masks, by not engaging in social distancing, while telling you to do it. Meanwhile, his own kids were enjoying in-person private education. Now, crime up. Crime up. 41% in LA, and I'm talking about shootings, homicides. Under this governor, 20,000 convicted felons were released early. What could possibly go wrong?
Elder sounds like he's describing AOC or any number of liberal elites. COVID rules for all of us, but not for them. And why would California vote to keep a governor who is overseeing massive increases in violent crime and who is releasing 20,000 convicted felons onto the street? Yep, Newsom is still governor. Anyone who has listened to Larry Elder knows that education is a priority for him. Here's Elder talking about the conditions in California.
Before the pandemic, half of all third graders in our government schools could not read at state levels of proficiency. Half. And those levels are low. Math scores even worse. 75% of black boys could not read at state levels of proficiency. Math scores are even worse. Because I care about this, I've been called the black face of white supremacy.
What a mess. Education levels are pathetic, and yet Californians keep electing radical leftist Democrats. Elder mentioned how he was called the black face of white supremacy. The racism that was exhibited toward Elder by those in the media was just sickening. Recall these comments from Los Angeles Times columnist Jean Guerrero from Monday's show.
But he has been able to reach the minority of voters in California who embrace his white supremacist worldview. And, you know, he's co-opted this line by my fellow columnist from the headline, you know, calling him the black face of white supremacy, but he refuses to engage with the actual substance of our reporting, you know, the idea that his views were shaped by a well-known white supremacist named Jared Taylor, who he repeatedly quoted in early writings, that he plans to reverse all of the state's progress on immigrant rights and racial justice, and that he poses a very real threat to communities of color for all of the reasons that we've reported in the past.
It's unbelievable. The media and others on the left use racism while calling conservatives racist. And those attacks on Elder have continued up until the last days of the election. On Monday, the Los Angeles Times published an article which declared Elder to be the embodiment of the model minority. The author wrote that model minorities like Elder would, quote, sell out their own people by promoting hard work versus blaming racial discrimination. Yep, if you think people should work hard regardless of race, you could be a sellout. If anyone has doubts where the real racists lie, just study this recall election. In the meantime, California will continue its downward slide and residents don't seem to care. All right, so next, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, is under fire again. This is the guy who is profoundly anti-Trump and who seems more concerned about increasing the wokeness of the military than actually developing the best fighting force in the world. Now, he could be guilty of treason. And here's the story. New reporting from the upcoming book Peril alleges that Milley reached out to his Chinese counterpart in the final months of the Trump presidency, vowing that he would warn the CCP if the commander-in-chief launched an attack. In the new book, authored by Washington Post associate editor Bob Woodward and national political reporter Robert Costa, it is alleged that Milley made two secret phone calls, both to his Chinese counterpart, General Li Zhuzheng of the People's Liberation Army. So, according to this book, while President Trump was still president, Milley reached out to the Chinese military saying that he would warn China if the United States made military moves against the communist country. If true, this cannot stand. As Fox News reports, retired Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, you remember him, he was one of the leading critics of Trump during the first impeachment. Vindman has now called for Milley to resign. Senator Marco Rubio says that Biden should fire Milley, and here's more. According to the book, Milley contacted Li after he had reviewed intelligence that suggested Chinese officials believed the United States was planning an attack on China amid military exercises in the South China Sea. The book excerpted in the Washington Post also stated that Milley told Lee that he would warn him in advance should America decide to attack. General Lee, you and I have known each other for now 5 years. If we're going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time, Milley added, as reported by the book. It's not going to be a surprise. This is just shocking, and something needs to be done. According to the book, on the day Milley made the second phone call to Lee, he also spoke with Nancy Pelosi on ways to stop possible military actions from Trump. This is treason, folks, and if true, Milley needs to pay the price. We can't continue to exist as a country with its hallmark of civilian control over the military if military leaders such as Milley are violating the chain of command and violating the Constitution. Let me know what you think in the comments. All right, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. But don't forget, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Thank you so much for tuning in. Our next show is going to be Friday evening at the usual time, 6:30 p.m. Central. Until then, I'm Bobby Eberly. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.